Hello, this is Victoria Pearson and this is Radio Gorgeous, and today my guest is a chart-topping singer-songwriter called, with a lovely name, December Rose. December, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now, so, you've recently had a big hit with the song Raise Your Voice. What are the ideas behind the song and who did you write it for?
Great question. So, a lot of my songwriting kind of goes in phases and can take place over long stretches of time, or sometimes if it hits all at once, it could be over a short stretch. But Raise Your Voice in particular took 3 years or so to finish. I started writing it while I was working with a PR team a few years back, and it was a female that headed off the project, and she kind of found every excuse in the book to tell me, like, all the reasons I wouldn't get anywhere in my career and all the reasons why glasses weren't sexy or attractive and why I wouldn't get booked on gigs because of my glasses.
Hang on a minute. This don't sound like good PR help to me.
No,
totally
absolutely
wrong as
not.
Well.
Yeah, no, it didn't work very well for sure. But because it was coming from like another female, you know, you always hear about how the music industry is over-sexualized and you hear these rumors and these stories all the time. And so then to kind of experience that firsthand was like pretty frustrating, of course, and especially coming from your team that's supposed to be on your side and kind of help get you out there, right? So I was pretty angry with the fact that I was like, okay, well, if I don't want to subject myself to sexuality in music and I want to really just sell a message and I want to sell like who I am, why can't I do that? So it kind of triggered the first portion of my lyrics, which are, I feel objectified, everything everywhere is sexualized just because I'm a girl in a twisted world. So it triggered the beginning of that, and then I kind of plateaued at one point and wasn't able to finish writing it until last year during the Me Too movement, where a lot of my friends kind of came out on Facebook about them having experienced sexual assault in various capacities. A couple of my friends that had been raped and just never talked about it. So I was kind of floored to see how many women that I had crossed paths with in life that had been victimized. And I guess I just, like, the rage within me helped me finish the lyrics to it, and then I met the right producer that really helped bring the vision to life. And so what I did is, after that was completed, I got a music video done and really dedicated that video to all of my fellow females around the world that had been victims of sexual assault, as well as throwing in their all sorts of different social injustices, like discrimination and police brutality, and just kind of a lot of current events that have been going on that a lot of people are talking about but no one's really doing anything about. And so the song kind of became my personal little anthem to people of, you know, like, speaking up when something's not right and not really being afraid to assert yourself in this very sensitive time right now in society.
I was 18.
I was 13. I was 25.
She was 40.
I was 20.
She was 15.
She was 9.
She was 32.
I was 22.
I feel objectified, everything everywhere sexualized, just cause I'm a girl in a twisted world. They call this living free, but good is free if it's not for me. This is inequality. What happened to quality? People,
I'm
Let's make some noise. We don't care what they'll say. Fight what is right.
It's a very important thing to be singing about, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I can't believe somebody told you that glasses aren't attractive, because it's just ridiculous.
I thought so too, because I've worn glasses since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I just, for the life of me, cannot put contacts in my eyes.
Did you ever watch somebody putting contacts in? It is the freakiest goddamn thing I ever did see.
Yeah, I can't watch someone do it, and I can't do it to myself. So I was like, you know what? I might as well stylize and just, make glasses, a trademark, get different colored ones, be funky about it. And so I really embraced them and kind of made it part of my look. And so to hear that was just, a dagger to my heart. I'm like, what do you mean they're not sexy?
It's total rubbish. I mean, did you ever see that movie with Marilyn Monroe where she wore glasses and she looked even better?
Yeah.
I thought it was great. There's a lot of that where women wear glasses, and they make them look even better, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Adds a bit of a mystery, somehow. It's intelligent, mysterious, you know? I think a lot of men find it really attractive.
Yeah, I thought so too, but it was just so weird to kind of hear that from another female and to, use that so aggressively against me in a setting that, you know, we should be inclusive, right? Especially in this climate of social events and politics right now, of inclusiveness and whatever. It was kind of bizarre to hear her say that, because people do wear glasses, and I'm not gonna forget about that demographic of people.
There's also a lot of models who will wear glasses that they don't actually need them, because it's like a stylized sort of look that they're going for the magazines, Vogue and all the rest of it. So to say that it's not sexy is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Yep.
What happened is the sexy secretary, the pencil skirt and the glasses. Men,
that's it.
Men go gaga over that. They lose their minds. I've seen them.
Yeah.
They love that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Totally. So that was really bad advice. I'm glad you didn't listen to this person, because they've got it completely wrong, right? You work a lot with Russ Reagan, who launched the careers of Elton John and Neil Diamond. What impact has he had for you on your career?
I'd say pretty huge, because it was kind of a fluke, like a freak accident that we met at all, and that I was working with him and signed to his label, because I basically, a couple of years ago, well, actually I was finishing up university, I started researching online songwriting contests, and I came across Contest Factory, submitted one of my originals, and lo and behold, I won the contest. And the administrator wrote to me saying, oh, listen, the owners, wanted to see if you had any other content. So I sent in more content. We set up a Skype call, and I met Russ Reagan and his the co-founder of Invitation Records, which was the record label I later signed to. And so we worked together for about, I would say, 1 to 2 years. He passed away last year, actually. Yeah, it was really unfortunate. But just those 2 years that I was able to spend with him, and getting to know him and working with him, and even just listening to the kind of stories that he had about working with, Frank Sinatra and Elton John, and some of these biggest people in the business, just hearing their come up and how he kind of mentored them in their careers was inspiring, just for me to get perspective on the kind of career I want to build for myself as well. How do I want people to see me? What do I want to contribute to the world, right? So I would say his impact was huge. It gave me a lot of insight on how to develop myself, rather than needing other people to shape, so to speak,
That's great. Because I think, you're talking about, he launched the very best people as well, didn't he? You're talking about the caliber of Neil Diamond and John, people like that. And it's a good point, isn't it? Don't let anybody tell you you're wrong. You know, keep your glasses, you know, it's a good, you know, don't let other people, you know who you are. You've got to be yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. It was also really cool, like, at that point in my life as well. Like, I was, you know, like, finishing school and opening yourself up to so much criticism that, like, you really don't know what could come. I wasn't sure that maybe it was, you know, just my imagination type, just to have that support and that he believed in me and always, like, encouraged me to stay true to myself and to create music that meant something to me. He gave me the strength to kind of put my best foot forward.
Oh, definitely. And this, you're talking about this online competition, it's called Contest Factory. So what were your memories of that? Because how did that work then? So you just sort of sent your music in, did you? And they just judged it on that, or...?
Yeah, my first single was Understand, and then my second one was my first, like, song with a video, and so it was called Don't Give Up on Love, and that one, that's the song I had submitted into the contest, and it was just, like, it was a small contest that you could win a $100 cash prize, and so, like, as a student, I was like, great, $100 could go a long way, that's gonna buy me, like, coffees for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I submitted into that contest, and I just forgot about it. Like, I just submitted it, and then a couple of weeks later, I got an email saying, like, oh, you've been, like, placed into the semifinals, or you've been voted into the semifinals. So while many people were struggling to kind of find passions and interests and what to study, like, it was kind of a no-brainer just because I felt like that's where my heart was, and that was what was right for me.
Yeah.
And so in the way of influences, I gravitated most actually to Adele when she... when she released, like, her earlier albums, and she was, like, super young, I think, like, 16 or something. Mm. So I really gravitated to her, and, yeah, I just started, as I matured more, and my voice matured more, I started to play more with, like, vocal colors and textures and stuff, and that's where Amy Winehouse kind of piqued my interest in how she would play with her vocals. And finally, I became obsessed with using my voice more as an instrument, as opposed to creating limitations like, oh, well, I'm a singer, I, you know, I can't do this or I can't do that. I really wanted to train myself to sing anything, and I felt like Jessie J just always floored me and never failed to amaze me with what she was able to do at all times on command with her voice. Mm-hmm. So between all three of those, I felt like it really was like my palette of tools to create my own sound and how to execute things.
Okay, so you've got the influence from those three women, and it's sort of amalgamated, helping you get your style.
Yeah.
Nice. I love Jessie J. I think that Price Tag's one of the best songs. It's a brilliant pop song.
I agree.
It's just so really catchy, isn't it? It's just really...
It really is.
Yeah, it's lovely. Now, your latest album is called Inside Out. What are the main themes on the album, and who do you want to reach out to with your music?
So Inside Out, yeah, definitely. It's my latest album. I'm working towards a new one now, but Inside Out is, it was my last project with Invitation Records. And that album, I think, was a turning point for me with, in maturity and in more defining what I want my career to look like and the kind of subjects I want to address and people I want to target. So, at that point, I had started to become very, very sensitive to, just developmentally with, like, things I had experienced in life and a lot of traumas I had overcome, and realized that maybe these are things that I should talk about and not things that I should just feel, like, embarrassed about or ashamed. So, one of the songs on there that I think was the two most personal songs on the record are, Mama and Daddy's Girl, and both for, like, some pretty strong reasons. So, like, Mama, for example, is about my relationship with my mom and our family dynamic, considering my mom's mental health condition. It just addresses, like, the kind of darkness that we all lived through witnessing someone that should have been a pillar in a household and how they fell apart due to neglecting their mental health. And then Daddy's Girl was kind of the polar opposite in contrast. He suffered a heart attack and had a quadruple bypass surgery. Our family dynamic as well, just realizing that, you know, you kind of take people in your life for granted sometimes because of the hustle and bustle and just trying to life. And when we realize we almost lost our dad, like, maybe, you know, we should pay more attention. And so that just made us a lot closer to dad and our family. So both of those songs, I think, were just things that I needed to get off my chest. But I also wanted to create that transparency with my audience. Like, people can't hurt you unless you're not okay with what you share. I wanted to show these are things that even though they have hurt me in the past, I'm okay with them now, and there is, like, life after pain. To create the connection to peak situations that frequently have a lot of shame surrounding it. In the way of audience, I mean, I'm looking to connect with people that are looking to heal from their past, with people that are looking to create brighter futures for themselves and realize that they're not the products of their environments, that they can and always should seek to do and be better. So I hope to be that little light.
Yeah. So whatever your situation, you can find a way out of it with the way that you think, you know.
Absolutely.
Because I believe in the law of attraction, that you create your own world in mm-hmm. a way. So whatever you, you know, yeah. you can think your way out of it. Or think yeah. your way back down into it again. You know, you can exactly. make it worse or better. But what was your mum's mental health problem, if you don't mind me asking?
So she suffered for a long time with chronic depression. Depression just kind of started to spiral and become more manic. Unfortunately, like, there's a lot of loopholes in the system about how you can get assistance and help for your loved ones. Yeah. And unfortunately, unless your loved ones are a threat to themselves or to society, there's no way of really having any kind of family intervention to help them. You know, if they're in denial and they don't want to get help, well, you can't do anything. If you know, becoming toxic to themselves and to other people, well, there's nothing you can do. And unless they're willing to see it themselves, that they have a problem, and kind of admit to that I have a problem and I need to do something about it, there's nothing that you can do. Kind of heartbreaking just to, like, have to watch that and know that even though you'd like to do something, there's nothing you can do. More because of the system.
Actually, it's Mental Health Day today, I think, isn't it? Over here it is. It's a particular day where people talk about mental health and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Because it's a big problem for a lot of people. And they even had a TV show here, and they actually stopped the TV show for a couple of minutes to say, talk to the person next to you about how they're feeling.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of young people have a lot of problems with mental health problems now as well. You know,
yeah, and I think it's kind of overlooked. It's taken a little too lightly, I think, for the severity of the actual traumas that it causes in their lives. And, you know, everything is so fast-paced and instant gratification that people just forget to take a minute and be like, you know, it's like, oh, well, you're feeling depressed today. Okay, well, you'll feel better tomorrow. Well, not exactly. Like, if it goes on for too long, it becomes chronic. And from chronic, it becomes, you know, a deeper situation. Yeah.
And there's various different, you know, degrees of it. Some people can just have a bad day, can't they? And then kind of thing. But if it goes on for weeks and weeks, then it's something else.
Yeah.
It's not, you know. Yeah. But I do think a lot of young people have got a lot more pressure on them than I had as a teenager. You know, they don't know who they are. They're being pressurized from all angles. You've got to be run over. Too much for some kids. Not everybody can get straight A's at every exam. You know, some people are quite happy working in a shoe shop or something.
Exactly.
Not everyone's going to be that academic, brilliant person. Not everybody wants to be, you know.
Yeah.
You need to let people make their own choices about stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Particularly teenagers. They don't know their own mind. Yes, they do. You know. Mm-hmm. They know who they are and what they want, you know. Now, talking about younger people, you're also a judge for the Canadian Juno Awards.
Yes,
what is the experience like being on the other side? Because you've won the competition, now you're judging other people.
Yeah.
How do you know when somebody's got it? That's something that people, you know, that you want to watch them. You know what I mean? They got it.
So, it's definitely an eye-opener being on the other side of it, because, winning a Juno is one of my dreams in the future. Until I can be in that position to submit my own music and, like, have it reach a certain level of success to be able to submit it at all, I was like, you know, let me just kind of see what it is on the inside and see how I can change other artists' lives and kind of give them that level up that they might need or that break that they might need. Yeah. So I think what's cool about it is, for starters, like, the Juno Awards, I kind of equate them as the Canadian Grammys. So it's a big deal for whoever wins it. And so my process, like, when I'm listening to the music and going through it, I do some research on all the artists just to see, like, what they've been up to, what's their process, how far have they come by themselves, and just to see the consistency, because I use myself as a benchmark. Like, I've kind of slaved at this and in the industry for years, just always trying to find another avenue. If this didn't work, what else can I try? Okay, this group of people couldn't help me, like, where else can I go? Who can I collaborate with? And how can I be better to get the attention of those that can see my vision the way it should be and help me bring it to fruition? So I kind of look for that as well in other people. Like, the most important thing for me is work ethic. You know, naturally, if I might like someone's album, but if I go and like check their social media and see that they're very disrespectful to their fans, or see that they're not, that they're just kind of expect fame, or that they expect recognition, to me, that's no standard of what music should be glorifying. We have enough of that in Hollywood and stuff, like enough arrogance and enough pompous behavior for music and people to like be selecting to glorify people of that mentality. Like we've discussed earlier, like there's already so many people struggling with mental health that we need more people to represent authenticity, to represent being that change in the world that we all wish to see. So I kind of, I drag that all into my judging, because there's some music that's great, but I absolutely don't like what the person represents. So I try to find the best balance, the most balanced artist of what they're representing, what they stand for, the kind of messages that they're delivering to society, and obviously like how the music is done. And so the people with the best balance amongst all of that are the ones that I usually give my vote to.
No, okay, it was a good long answer, but it was a lot of truth in there, definitely. A lot, lots of lots. What is the greatest fan reaction that you've had?
I found that the best way that I've connected with my fans has been in being the most brutally honest about myself. And so I guess in the way of best fan reaction is I have a fan that lives in Holland, and he became such a fan of mine when he found one of my cover videos on YouTube several years ago. And he wrote to me and he's like, look, he's like, I know that you live in Canada and, you know, you can't be at our wedding. He's like, but I would love if you could sing our wedding song for us.
So
I was like, okay, well, like, how would you like me to do that? So he absolutely wanted the song from The Godfather. And yeah, so he's like, if you could kindly like just record the vocal over like this specific instrumental and send it to us, and we'll play it at our wedding. And that's exactly what they did. And they walked down the aisle and all that to like the recording of that cover.
Yeah.
And so fast forward a few years, and like I have them on social media, and I follow their life and their story, and like we're always in touch. And now they've had not only their first child but their second child. And so they send me photos of their children, and for their firstborn, they asked me to record like a little lullaby for the baby. And so I did that, and it's like I'm like part of their story as much as they're part of mine, and dedicated, like always check my music and like purchase it and promote it. And it's just like kind of beautiful to know that I've had an impact on someone's life like that, and that they've included me even in theirs without formally having met. Like, they live in Holland and I'm in Canada, and I haven't been on tour over there, so yeah, that's probably my best fan story.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Yeah,
that's really nice. We'll have to tag them when we put it on Twitter, you know. You'll have to tell me who
Absolutely.
They are, so they can get to hear it. Yeah, that's important. Yeah. What's his name?
His name is Mark.
Okay, so we'll shout out to Mark on here on the interview. Yeah, hello,
for
Mark.
Sure.
I think that's lovely. Isn't that nice? It's really, really lovely. I've asked people that question before. I think that's the best answer I've had so far.
Oh,
really, really nice, isn't it? Now, what is the nicest thing a critic has said about you?
Ooh, great question. Probably that I was under-recognized.
Yeah,
that I'd been consistent for like several years, and that I was like the most under-recognized that they had listened to.
Really?
I think that was there was a few articles. I can't it's not coming to mind right now about the actual article name, but that was one critic that kind of stuck to me, because I felt so sad. I was like, yeah, I've been consistent and I haven't been able to like, you know, reach certain levels that I wanted to or that I expected to be at. So that was like a little encouraging. I was like, okay, at least somebody else sees it.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. And finally, what else do you have lined up for the rest of the year?
Yeah. So I have another single coming out actually on October 18th. It's called When We Were Young. And this is another one of the singles off the forthcoming album. that I don't have a title for yet, so I can't say. This single is about, it's about the reflection of our youth, thinking back to how ignorance is bliss, and as children, like, we don't look to discriminate, like, just the fact that there is, you know, other colored children or different kinds of children, like, when we want to play, we just all go and play together. So I was taking the time to just analyze, like, children's behavior and, like, small things that they do. I'm also a music teacher as, like, part of my day job, I suppose. And like, my students were the biggest source of inspiration for this song, just to kind of see how they interact with each other and how every now and then we should remind ourselves to go back to that little inner child to find that joy in the smallest things in life.
Definitely. It's funny you say that the album of music is coming out on the 18th of October, because that's my birthday.
Oh!
And I think you're about the fourth person I've interviewed who's got music coming out on my birthday. Isn't that funny?
Look at you, you're spoiled!
It's really strange, I don't know what that is, but yeah. And you're all female as well.
Oh! Yeah. The stars are aligning.
It's creepy, hasn't it? And actually interviewed lady also has exactly the same birthday as me as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's something funny going on, isn't there?
Yeah, it must be.
Fantastic. Well, December, thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been lovely to meet you.
Yeah, lovely to meet you too. Thanks again for reaching out. It was really a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been really lovely to meet you. I like your whole style of the way, you know, just keep doing your thing and don't let anyone tell you not where the glass is and just tell them all where to go and just keep doing it. Because it's good. I think some people make music for the heck of it, you know, sort of like just pop songs, but I think you're striving to reach people and talk to them with your music, you know, and it's a different kind of a level that you're going for. Because there's a lot of people out there that they've got a lot of problems, or they don't know who they are, don't know what they're doing and things like that. And for some people, music is their... Some people don't read books. Some people listen, only listen to records. And if they've got somebody saying something to them that reaches them, it may pull them out of a depression. It may really help them. It may help them with their identity, how they're feeling about themselves. You know, you could be doing something really good and not completely knowing about it, you know? So I think music is a massively important thing of connecting with people quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, you know, being in music at all and the mere fact that people can listen to you and that they may listen to you, it's a heavy social responsibility. You have to walk the walk and talk the talk. So if I'm, you know, talking about certain subjects, I have to kind of be the testimony to I've done this, and if I can do it, you can do it.
Absolutely.
So absolutely, yeah, like, you know, like you said, anyone can come out of a depression just listening to it. So I have to put myself there, like, I have to be willing to help them by having helped myself too, and then show you that you can do it.
Absolutely. And I think that'll be a big inspiration for a lot of people.
When we were young, every girl was a queen. Difference was unseen when we were young. And Barbies were toys and cars were for boys when we were young. And the gender we had was neither good or bad when we were young, when we were young. Lost in the sun. Oh, when we were young. Let's be like we are young.
And for more gorgeous interviews, visit radiogorgeous.com.